Yesterday we discussed about your position, I mean Rabbi Yosef's position. At the bottom of Heymud Bet, Rabbi Yosef gave an explanation as to why she is Choletzet below Mit Yabemet. So Gemara wanted to know, well, why can't she be Mit Yabemet? So we went through three iterations of what Rabbi Yosef said, or possibly the explanation of Rabbi Yosef. Right, we had the first one was Vayatami Beito, Val Chavet Alish Acher. That the acher, the extra word acher, was enough to push him in that direction. Others, we have the second one, which is that the reason that he has to leave the house is because the destructive force that this woman brings to the house through her znus, and therefore why would we want her to be mityabim with the yabam if she's a destructive force? And the last one we said was that the word acher implied that this was an inappropriate zivug. If it was an inappropriate zivug, meaning that the Torah tells him to get her out of the house, right? And then why should we force the Yabam, Baal Korche, to take this woman into his house? So that was the possibility of Rabbi Yosef. Now today, we're going to continue with Rava, who has another explanation as to why there should be no Yibum here. So it's about 8 lines down. Eight down lines down. The Gemara, Rava Amar. Rava Amar, Kal v'chomer. It's a Kal v'chomer why the Yabam should not have her or take her as a wife here, rather be and be cholik. Im ne'esra b'mutar la, b'asur la lo koshikein. If she now is restricted to the one she was mutar to, who's she mutar to? Her husband. Her husband she's normally mutar to, and now, after all this, the Torah prescribes or demands of him to divorce her, because now she is asuralo. Then certainly with the brother, right, the yabam, who is asur to her, as long as she's his brother's alive, he is asur to her. And certainly now he should remain asur to her. Why should he get married to her? Why should he be miyabing her? I mean, it is a kal v'chomer, but you see there are weaknesses in this kal v'chomer, which is going to be challenged. Amar lei Abaye, el miata kohen gadol. There's an underlying presumption in this kal v'chomer, right, that every case where there's going to be yibum, that the husband is mutar to the wife, that's number one. Number two is this is the general category of how a yibum ends up being miyabin. I mean, he's normally always asur, and then ends up being mutar afterwards. But the kal v'chomer will work if in every instance where the husband is mutar, the Yabam will be mutar, and every instance where the husband is asur, the Yabam will be asur. Problem is that we know the Mishnah, we have the Mishnah in Yivamos that doesn't work like that, which is the Mishnah gives four different categories, sometimes where it's asur to the Baal, but mutar to the Yabam. Alright, mutar to the Baal, asur to the Yabam. We have all these combinations, which is where we're going to challenge now Rava from. Amar lei Abaye. Miato. Right, Abaye was asking the questions, if you remember, on Rabbi Yosef before. He was the one challenging Rabbi Yosef's position. He's challenging Rava El Miata, Kohen Gadol Shekidesh Et Almano. The Kohen Gadol, who is Mekadesh, and Almano, who is Asura to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Almano. Umeit, and then he passes away. The Yeshlo Ach Kohen Hejot. And now he has a brother who is a regular Kohen, who is not restricted in Almano. Lotit Yabem, maybe he shouldn't do Yibum. Imnes Rabba Mutar La. Right, she is asur. She was asur, but mutarla. I mean, to her husband, she was asur. Basur la lo koshkein. Now, certainly with the brother, who until this point it was arayos, she should not be mutar. Mar says, what do you mean nesra? She became asur to him. She never became asur to the husband. Ha asira v'kaima. I mean, she was always asur. I mean, it's not that she became asur to the husband. This is not the same case as Rava. In Rava's case, she was mutarit to the husband and then became asura. Here, this woman was never mutarit to the Kohen Gadol. She was always asura to the Kohen Gadol. Right? So, and then it says, mutala, right? Asur lahu. Right? So, but it's not that he was mutar to her. He was asura to her. Ella, Eshit Kohen Shenanta. So let's say the case like this. You have a wife of a Kohen who was raped, umet, and then he passes away. Now, and he has a brother who is a halal, who's a Kohen who's psul the kuna, right, and can marry a woman who is psula because he's already a halal. He's a halal, he doesn't have the demand to keep up the yichus ha-kuna, and therefore he can marry women that would otherwise be inappropriate for a Kohen. So this, a woman who is nansa, the Ish Kohen to nansa is a surah to her husband, yet to the brother she will be muteret. Right, look to Jebem. Himnes Rabbi Mutarla, this woman who, when she was raped, became restricted to her husband, Basurla Lokoshikain. When someone who is, I mean, the brother, the Yavam, who was a sore beforehand, certainly should be remaining in the status of Isher. But it says, no, Onis Bistro, Mishra Shari. No, Onis is unique to the Kahuna. That meaning that if this woman was married to Israel, then she would not be a surah over here. So the Isra is not being generated because of necessarily the marriage. It has to do with his status as a Kohen. But God be the high lucky Isra. And for the other brother, right, there is no Isra. Meaning that the Isra here is because of his status as a Kohen, but not because this woman is a Surah, right, to any Kohen or any Israel. It's a unique circumstance within the category of Kohen. And his brother a Kohen is Mutar. And if it was an Israeli, she would be Mutar. So it's a very limited Isra. It's not the type of Isra that we're talking about here, where any woman, if she says she gets into trouble, would be a Surah to any husband. And that's a much more broad Isra in the sense that, right, that it would be, apply to every husband, number one. And number two, it's being generated mitzad the woman. In the case of the woman who gets raped, then the Isra is being generated only by a Kohen. And number two, it's because of the Kohen. It's not really because the woman is a Surah, because we see that she's Mutar to Israel. It's being generated, the Isra is being generated because of his yuchus, her status as a Kohen. And therefore, if someone doesn't have that status, they won't be blocked or a Surah from taking this woman as a wife. So it comes down in the end, and that's the point of the answers to Abaye, is yes, we do have cases where it's a surah to the husband and mutara to the yavam. But in all those instances, the question is it really identical to what Rava's case is over here? And the answer is no, either because the isur was kaima, was there already, meaning that any case where you come up with the husband's a surah and the yavam is mutar is a case where the husband is already, right, a surah with this woman. Or number two is the case where it's a very narrow Isur, and if you go back to the Mishnah in Yavamos, it'd be the same thing where we find these differences. So Rav's Kav HaChomer will stand in the end. In a case where a woman makes herself a surah to her husband, and certainly she will remain a surah to the Yavam. And again, I would say that, I said this yesterday in the last position of Abaye, in Rav Yosef, but I think it's true in Rav's position here, is that the whole purpose of Yibum, right, is to be boned bayit, the bayit of the original husband. If the original husband is a surah to be with this woman, what's the whole period of the Yavam stepping in here to be boned bayit that the other husband couldn't have done himself? So I think that the failure or the Isur that's riding on the husband, right, should also create a problem of Yivnet bona bayit for the Yavam.
Along those same lines, the Yivam's Kiddushin relies on the husband.
Right, so Rashi's pointed that out throughout here that the Yavam is using the Kiddushin Arishonim, and if the Kiddushin Arishonim are failing, then certainly the Yavam's ability to marry this woman should also be failing here.
It's interesting that the Gemara doesn't mention that.
Right. Rashi keeps mentioning it all the way along here.
It's a solid sfera.
Right, yeah. It's
like a very solid sfera.
That's the Yibam aspect of the whole idea of bona bayit versus, especially they didn't mention it. I think it's implicit in Rav Yosef's last position and Rav's position, but the Gemara never explicitly mentions that issue. All right, new Mishnah. Ve'ilu asurot melechol b'truma. These are the people who are restricted, a woman who's restricted from eating truma, which also means that she would be restricted to her husband. Who's this? No merit, tamea anilah. She says that I am tamea, meaning that I've been violated, or I was, in a sense that she was a willing participant in this situation. Shubal eidim, she's tamea, or we have witnesses that she had an affair, she was an adulteress. Or in a position where she should have drank the mesuta and she refuses to drink them. Or an instance again where she's required to drink, but her husband is not willing to take her up to the mikdash to have her drink. And the last one is Shabbala Balabadir. And the last case is where her husband, in the process of taking her up to the mikdash to have her drink the mesulta, right, has a relationship with her, and because of that, it will not allow the mesulta to work, so then again, she becomes a surah, because she can't drink the mesulta, and she's still in the status of isur, because of whatever evidence took place beforehand.
Yeah. It's just the asura
petruma. What? Why is it say asura petruma?
It's just the asura
the Right. So asura the truma is also asura the ba'lo, right, if he's a kohen. Now why is that important? Because there's the Mishnah at the end of Nidarim. Mishnah at the end of Nidarim says that if a woman says Tmeya Anilach, right, she's not believed. Right? And not only is she not believed, but there in the Gemara he says that she is Ochelet Bitruma, Shaloba Hotzilad Albanel. And she eats Truma in order that we shouldn't be cast aspersions. You know, it's one thing to say that she is Mutaret Lebeka because, right, we don't believe her because we think Sheminatna Einel Be'acher. But to have her eat Truma, why should we let her eat Truma? So either it's Truma Derabbanan, or we say, well, Shalolo Tzilaz Abana, I mean that we don't want to cast aspersions on her children, and therefore she eats Truma because we don't believe her, right? We don't believe that she is Tmeyah here because we said Sheminatna Einel Be'acher. Question is, why don't we say that here? Over here, we're saying, despite the fact that this is going to cast aspersions on her children, we say, how come? Why is it different? Why do we believe her when she says, Tmei Anilach, over here? So we've shown and point out, the reason we say that it works over here is because there is Raglaim Ledavar. When there's Raglaim Ledavar, right, then when she says, Tmei Anilach, she's believed because, I don't know, it's strange. The way the Ketosa Shatz over here formulates it, he says, we believe over here because there's Raglaim Ledavar, and therefore we don't say, Sheminat Na'ina Bacher. Although, I mean, that's exactly what happened. What really happened was that Nana Enea Bacher. But over there, we don't say she's trying to get out of the marriage and get her tsuba and get out because she wants to. But here we find that she did. There's Raglaim Ledavar to believe her, and therefore she is Nemenet over here versus over there. And she's Nemenet to the point where we don't let her eat Truma, right? So that even though that will cast aspersions on her children. Amar Rav Amram. Ha Milsa Amar Lan Rav Sheshes. This is a statement that was said in the name of Rav Sheshes, or Rav Sheshes, to tell this over. And he opened our eyes through the Mishnah, meaning that he brought a proof from our Mishnah to that position. So what's that? Sota, Sheshla Edim, Bebenedina Tayam, Ena Mayim Bukimota. If there's a Sota who has Edim that are not in front of us, right, but are not here, that are not present, then the Mesota, she drinks the Mesota, they don't work. The waters don't work. Right? My time, what's the reason? Dhamma Krav, and Nistira, Vehi Nitma'a, Ve'ed, Ein Ba. It says that she was Nistira, then became Tima'a, Ve'ed, Ein Ba, there's no Edim here. The Lekka, the Yadaba. There's no one that knows about it. Lafukeha, right? The Skudarkis are here, Da'ika, the Yadaba. And that here we have someone who does know about it. Since someone knows about it, the Mesota are not going to work in this instance. Right? And then even though here, Eidain Ba, right, Rashi points out this last, if you look in the Rashi down near the wide lines in the Rashi, it's right before the wide lines in the Rashi, it says, Eidain Ba, Apagav, the Dershin in the El, Eid Echad, Neman Besota. Then we use this already, Eidain Ba, to teach you that Eid Echad is Neman Besota. Right, to tell you that she is Tmeya, that she doesn't drink. Levasota vadaid slotishtek, by a certain sota, right, I mean a sota of uncertainty, right, that she doesn't have to drink. Oh, ain, mikra yotsemi de pshuto. Says he still can darshan in the pasuk like it's pasuk pshat. Rateshin and lay nami hoch, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Vedain bahu damar, vehevi, isha tisho, vachol parshish, but aid, in a mind book kimota. That's what it's coming to teach you, that even though we used it for a limud in the case where, right, vedain bah means there's no aidin, but if there is one aid, that makes it a surah the bala. So even though we darshan that over there to teach us the limud of aid echad is ne'menet, or ne'man. By a sotavadit, it's also the pashpshat and the psukimar. If there are no edim, then the mesotav go to work. If there are no edim, right, then if there are edim, then the mesotav will not work. So Rashi says, despite the limud, we still have the pashpshat or the basic understanding of the psukim. So now, Rav Sheshes' statement that sota who has edim in mitayam, ein amayim bodkimotai, that the waters do not work. So now the Gemara says, I'm going to bring you a proof from our Mishnah. He Yes, Mishnah will be approved of this. Why? It says, V'shibawla Edim, Shehi Tmeya. Edim show up, that she's Tmeya. Ta'atu Edim Eimat. When did the Edim show up? Inei Mamakami the Tishtei. If the Edim showed up before she drank the Nesilta, this is your question. Right, Gedalia? Zona. Right, she's already a Zona. There's nothing to talk about anymore. You have two Edim, that's used to Tmeya. What do you need Nesilta for? What are we discussing here at all? El Alapat or Dishatai. They come after she drank the Nesilta. If the water doesn't work to check her, then it makes sense that the two Edim show up and that they have some reason to come here. Right? If the waters work, then you can figure out what these witnesses are lying. Because here she drank the Mesota, right? And then the Mesota were bodaker, right, or supposedly bodaker, and nothing happened over here, and nothing happened over here, and then these Edim show up and say that she's Tmeya. Right now you have a conflict between the Edim and the Mesota. So it's going to make these Edim look like they are, right, they are going to be, they're liars. So they, therefore, Rav Shesha says, it must be, what, that the Mesota do not work. When the Mesota did not work, when the Edim are believed, they're not going to be going up against the Mesota, because we know in an instance where there are Edim, the Mesota don't work. So as soon as the Edim show up and say, we saw it, we know now why the Mesota didn't work, because the Edim saw her, and therefore the Mesota didn't work. Otherwise, it's going to cast aspersions on their Edus, and we say the mind does work, nothing's happened to her, and then the Edim show up. The question now is between the Edim and the Mesota, who are you going to believe? So by knowing the fact that it doesn't work on their Edim, it gives tokev to the testimony of the Edim. So that's the way Rav Sheshis explains. He says that if the Sota has Edim, you see, I'm in a mining book, Kimota. Now, I'm a lay Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gives another possibility. Well, man, Golam Emilcha mine book, Kimota. No, that border does work. Even when they're Edim, the mine strokes are. Baha, Imor, Zuchus, Tolala. And we will say that there is, she has some Zuchus that is protecting her from the Mesota working. And there are different reasons why the Mesota cannot work. Right? The Mesota cannot work because she's innocent. That's one possibility. But there are other possibilities of why the...
That it is working.
Right, that it is. Or, right, that
the
it is.
That the Mesota could not show her as being guilty.
Right, I'm sorry. Right, that the Mesota don't cause her to decompose on the spot, or don't work in being bodeker, is because, one, we said because she's innocent, other possibilities that she has a schus, which you can see later on in the Gemara, that there's a possibility that if you have a schus, that if the woman has a certain amount of schuyot, that the mesota will not work. It will protect her from the mesota working. So if that's the case, if there are alternatives to why the mesota doesn't work, then when the agent come and testify, we're not going to automatically say that they're going up against the mesota, because we can provide an alternative explanation for why the mesota don't work. And therefore, we will believe their egos, even though the mesota have not been bodeker. And that's what Rav Yosef says.
So that means the chuyot have been bodeker.
Why is Mikri Yosef be
dead? What he's saying, I think, is that if she didn't have these Leos, then the mind would work. But it's Eishba.
Right. Right. So he's right. So he's saying, hey, you're right. That's right. He's not going to say the Mikra. He's saying the Eishba. Right. It's Yosef Yitzhak. So Mar says, B'mai Kamikri Yosef. So what are they... Right. What are they arguing about here? What's this machlokes between Rav Yosef? I mean, Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. What is this machlokes? Mar says, what? Right, how to learn the pasuk. But it also has to do with how the mesota works, because otherwise, we'll see in a second. Goodbye, Mekonflige. Then it not know the Rabbi. The question is the deterioration of Rebbe. What is the deterioration of Rebbe? It's not. Rebbe Omer is Chus Tolu B'mayim Amarim. We made an underlying assumption that Chus works in order to protect her from the Mesota. So the only way you can have this, that the Eidus will stand up against the Mesota, is if what? If you believe that there's another reason why the Mesota should not be Bodek over here. What's the other reason it should be? It's Chus Tolu La. So Rebbe says we have a mission. The Rebbe Omer is Chus Tolu B'mayim Amarim. Veino Yoledet. Veino Mishabechet. That she does not give birth afterwards, and she does not get better. It's a navna golach that she deteriorates. There going forward, she deteriorates. The soap, she makes of otamita. In the end, she ends up, right, dying in that mita that was the original pitika. So what does it mean? It means that according to Rebbe, when we say schus tolila, that doesn't mean she will the mind will take. It just postpones the inevitable bdika of mind. And that what's the opposite? If she's innocent and she drinks the mesilta, what happens? There it says that she's nizrat, that she waits, she looks even better afterwards, she gets pregnant, all these positive things happen. So Rebbe says when the mayim do not work, right, because she has this chus, that first of all those brachot, all the positive aspects of the mesilta do not happen to her. But not only all the positive aspects of the mayim happen to her, she deteriorates. Over time, that bdik will happen. It just won't happen instantaneously when she's in the mikdash. But over time, she'll end up in the same mitah. So therefore, Rav Sheshet Savar ben the Rebbe, ben the Rabbana, and Haviyah Mitabna. Right, so that both according to Rebbe and to the Rabbanan, she will deteriorate, even the Rabbanan. Or they that argue on Rebbe, and Rebbe, they both agree that what? That she deteriorates. When she deteriorates, then we're going to know that the Mesilta do work. That we know that the Mesilta work or don't work, right, that's going to be a problem for the Edim. But if she does not deteriorate, that means that the Mesilta were bodeker and she is innocent. Now these Edim show up and say that she is Tmeya. And now you have the Mesilta, right, against the Edim. And then that's going to cause cast aspersions on the Edus here. So we say, no, the water doesn't work over here because that way the Edus was there, the water doesn't work, and therefore the Edus is true. Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi, Habi Mitnabna, Brother Rabbanan, Rabbi Mitnabna. According to Rabbi, right, she would deteriorate, and therefore what? There would be evidence of a suit, but according to Rabbanan, it does not deteriorate. And since she does not deteriorate, this chus is enough of a reason to not cast dispersion on the Edus, because there's a possibility that she will be just fine, and she's not innocent. Why is she not innocent? Because she did not, she had a chus that was totally love. And therefore, even when the Edus comes along, and the Edus come, right, we will not question their Edus, because we believe there are other reasons why the Mesota didn't work, that their Edus is true. Right, so the difference between Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshet is, can you come up with a case where the Mesota, right, will not work, right, and yet she still is not innocent? And according to Rav Sheshet, in all instances, if she's not innocent, the Mesota will work. And therefore, when the Mesota don't work, that means that she's now proven innocent. She's proven innocent, the Edut, right, is not going to stand against it. They must say that what? That the Edus is what caused it not to work. And therefore, once you have Edus, the mind is invoked. And when the Edus comes along, we say that's exactly why the mind did not work. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef believes that there are instances where you can have a woman be guilty, and yet the Mesota do not work. So when you have Edus that comes along here, even though the mind would work, technically, she has another factor, an outside factor that's protecting over here, like this chus, right? And that chus is protecting her, and therefore when the Edim come and testify against her, right, they can stand against that the Mesota. We don't say just because Mesota says she's innocent, that means the Edim are wrong. She could be that she's guilty, and the reason the Mesota didn't work is because she has this chus, and the Edim come then, and they're testifying that she is Tmeya. And so she was Tmeya, and the Mesota didn't work for a technical reason. Maybe Rav Simon Barash, Rav Shimon Omer, ain't schut tolle by my marim. Shimon believes that there's no schut, doesn't work by my marim. V'im ata omer schut tolle by my marim. V'taka ata et amayim yifnei kol anashim ha-shutot. Then you've made it worthless for any of the women. Any woman's going to drink because, number one, the risks are low that she's going to actually be punished by the Mayim Marim because of the fact that maybe she has a split she's still left. And number two is that she believes even when she's seen other women who are Tzmeot drink and nothing happens to them, so she doesn't believe that there's any reason not to. I mean, that the pressure that they come and put on her, the pressure that's placed on her before she drinks to make an admission, will have very little force if the Mayim Marim don't work. Number two is, V'atam Otzi Shemra Al HaTeorot. And you cast out a woman who really are innocent, and the mayim is showing that they are innocent. People are going to say, she's not innocent, it's just this chus that's working here. Because other people are going to say, you know what? They weren't innocent, just that they had a chus that protects them. Right, so same thing over here. If you say that there are Edim in the Medina Sayyam, right, and that's what protects her from this, then you're mostly Shemra Allah Taurot Shishatu. Vein Omrim Tmei Tayyu Asheishlan Edim Medina Sayyam. Right, so now, but the problem is, according to Rav Sheshis, Rav Sheshis' position is what? Rav Sheshis believes that when there are Eidim and Bedinas Hayam, the Mayim doesn't work. So now all of a sudden, what, we have a woman here, she comes and drinks, and what are people going to say? People are going to say not that she was Tahora, but maybe there were Eidim, they're just not around. The Eidim are around are what are protecting her from the Mayim being bodek her. And that's why it wasn't bodek her. And again, you're going to cast aspersions, number one, on the Me'amarim, that they work at all. Number two, on these women who are Tahorot, you'll never really know that they are Tahora, because they were Eidim, those people that were Eidim in Medina Sayyam, people say, and that's why they were protected, and not because of, right, not because of the fact that it's Me'at. So this would challenge Rosh Hashanah's position, that we don't have the mind be bodek in an instance where we don't know why it's not be bodek. As soon as you say that there are external factors that can stop the mind from being bodek, then it undermines the ability of the Me'amarim to work at all. So Mar says, but Rosh Hashanah comes. Right, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is exclusively talia edim nam lo yitalu. And exactly, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're consistent in your position, Rabbi Shimon, that means just like the schus doesn't work, Rabbi Shimon, so too edim would not work to stop the ma'arim to be bodek. Meaning that Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Sheshis says, all right, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're right, because Rabbi Shimon has this unusual position that any external factor, right, will not work in order to protect the edim here. So since there are no external factors, just like a schus won't work, so too, right, so too edim won't work. So now, the Tosfos over here asks the question. He says, but according to Rav Sheshis, Sheshis believes that even when there is, even when the mayim doesn't work, meaning in the sense that she doesn't blow up on the spot, it's still, she's mitnapla. That in the face of his chus, she deteriorates. Then why is that a problem? I mean, why would that cast dispersions on the mayamarim? Because in the end, we'll know. And in the end, it always works. If in the end it always works, what type of question is this? So that's said in terms of the Rishish, the Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon. What's the case in which Rabbi Shimon's suspect of the Me'amarim, meaning that the schus is going to be told law, and then people are going to question the value or the validity of the test of the Me'isotah? Because in every case, according to Rabbi Sheshis, either she died on the spot or she deteriorates, so we're going to know, we're going to have evidence in the end of what happened. Right, so that's Yishlomar. This is right, very good. Exactly what Tosfos says. Yishlomar. Tosfos says, "Anashim el dov yishim isur lo yinikar la alter kshomet bazara." That means that it won't be obvious right away because she's not in the azara, and it doesn't happen right away. And she goes out later on, and she becomes. People get sick. People get this. People, you know, women have other issues that come about them, and people won't see that.
Doesn't say that.
What?
Just says Yishtut
Tola
doesn't talk about
Minna Minna
Tola,
it's just Shita Rebbe. Right. I mean, but according to Rav Sheshis, in Rav Sheshis' who believes that everyone, not just Rebbe, believes, he says even the Rabbanan hold Mitnabna Belbechet. Right? Even the Shita of the Rabbanan is that she's Mitnabna Belbechet. And according to Rav Sheshis, there is no case where she's not Mitnabna Belbechet. In that case, this is just in the position of Rav Sheshis. So it's a challenge to Rav Sheshis. It's not a challenge to Rav Shimon's position. So Rav Shimon just doesn't have to hold like Rebbe. That's what you're saying. Probably according to Rav Sheshis, who says everybody holds of. Now also, Tosfos says, Inami. Is another interesting. Inami, lo yitzlu nitnabna b'maya marim. People will not say that she is going, because one, we say it doesn't happen instantly, and then people will forget about it and say it's not connected to. Over here, now people are going to say no, that she is deteriorating, and yet they're going to say it's not because of the Me'amarim. The Chedi lo, right, to live in Me'amarim, ele b'chuli acher. So just assume it's another chuli. It's really, it's, Rosh Malevitz talks about this in Sichos Musar, such a Musar Askel here, that something can happen, you can see evidence of something happening, right, and yet, right, despite that it's happening in front of your eyes, the person is in denial of it happening. I mean, the example that Rosh Malevitz gives in the Sichos Musar is the case where the curse of Yeshua to rebuild Yericho. Right, in the case where Yeshua gives a curse that you may, the person who builds Yericho, when he puts his foundation down, his first son will pass away, and then when his right when he finishes the city, his last son will die. And there it goes ahead, and the Navi describes someone who goes ahead and is rebuilding Yericho, and sure enough, he puts the foundation down, and his first son dies. And yet he continues to build Yericho, despite the fact that what? Despite the fact that he sees the evidence of the curse coming through. mean, that a person can be faced with so much overwhelming evidence and still yet be in denial of it happening. So it's over here. Even though there's the overwhelming evidence that this woman knows she was Tmeya, she drank Tmeya Marim, but she's deteriorating over here in the face of drinking the Tmeya Marim, and she'll still be in denial, right, that that's what's happening. Yeah, I got sick. Something else happened to me. That a person can be in such state of denial not to see the Musar, not to see the Isirim that are happening to them and understand that there is, you know, Hashem speaking to them and be in denial, miss the whole point. Marcos, Meiti Brav. A lot of people going to change the kids here, Meiti Bravo. The Ilu, Shemintalotayim Nisrafot. These are the women whose Shemintalotayim are Nisrafot, meaning that they bring, along with the Sultah, the Tzukim, she also, as part of the process of the Sultah, she brings a Korban Mincha, or Minchat Seorim. So whose Mincha does not get brought on the Mizbeach, but rather gets burnt? Omer Tmeani. Right, someone who says that I am Tmeya, you know, she makes an admission under pressure, under duress, when they bring her up here after she thought she was going to bring her Korban and she was going to catch the Korban Mincha, she admits to being Tmeya, then that gets burnt. The other one is Shiba'ula Edim. That Edim show up now and say that she is Tmeya. So when Edim comes and say she's Tmeya, talk to Edim Emas. When did the Edim show up? If the Edim show up before she made the Mincha Kadosh, then why did the mincha have to go to Nisrefet? It never actually got to be the point where it was kadosh, because the eidim showed up before she was mikadosh the mincha. Now it must be that the eidim came after she was mikadosh the mincha, right? Because how does the mincha work? You bring the mincha to the mikdash, then it only has kedushat damim. It has kedushat damim, meaning that it's kadosh the mizbeach, but doesn't have kedushat saguf. That means that you can redeem it if something goes wrong. But once you take the mincha that's brought kedushas of damim and place it into a kli sharet, that makes it into kadosh kedushas of guf, and that will no longer allow you to redeem it, and it needs to be burnt, right, if something goes wrong here. So now, what happens? She was mekadesh the mincha into the kli sharet, now it's kadosh, and she has to burn it because that kedusha took force on the mincha, and therefore now when she is found to be wrong, meaning that she's not able to bring the mincha either because she admits she was tmeya or even show up, what do we say? We say that the mincha now gets burnt. But that makes sense if you say Mayim Bodkimota. Right then, if the water works, Alma Bakmiktashi or Mikadeshi or Mikariti, then she still brings the mincha. There's a valid mincha to be brought here. Why is there a valid mincha to be brought here? Because despite the fact that they're Edim, right, despite the fact that they're Edim, there still is what? A reason to bring the mincha and to have the waters go, because if the Edim didn't show up, right, then everything would have gone as normal. Everything would have gone as normal when she's Mekadesh the Mincha, then it was a valid Kiddush. V'chi Kaddush Mikara Shafir Kaddush. So when she was Mekadesh and put in the Kli Sharet, she was going through a process that had meaning or had validity. U'mishumachi Mincha Ta Nisrefet. And therefore the Mincha will be Nisrefet. Ella Yamarz Ena Mayim Bodkim Ota. If you hold like Rav Sheshes, that the Mayim is not Bodek Ota, Tiglei Milsul and Mafreya. Then retroactively we know that this would have never been a proper Mesota. If that's the case, V'chi Kaddush Mikara Bataos Kaddush. Because had we known this information beforehand, we would have known what, that the Mesota don't work. If the Mesota don't work, right, then there's no reason to bring the Korban Mincha. There's no reason to do the whole process of Mesota. There's no reason to do it, then you undermine it, Mi'ikara. There's a Hidush Vitoos, and we know that Hekdesh Vitoos, Lo Shmei, Hekdesh Viti, but Klechulin is Kalat Klechulin. So according to Rav Sheshes, who believes that the Mayim is not Bodek yet, when there are two Edim, then why is it that the Mincha is Nisrefet over here? Summer of Yehuda, Midiskarta, Kigon, what's the case here? Shezinta Ve'azora. That the Znus happened after she was Mekadesh the Mincha, but prior to her drinking the Mesota. Now, this again is that there is a second case of Znus here. Right? There was a first case of Znus, and that's why her husband had brought her up. Right? And these Edim are testifying about a second case of Znus that transpired while she was already up in the Migdash. So when she first got to Migdash, she was Mekadesh or Mincha. That was a valid Kiddush Mincha because she was brought here by her husband with a case where there's no Edim, and she brought the Mincha under circumstances that would be fine. But then, she's now a Zinta with Edim after that point in time, and that is going to disqualify her from drinking the Mesota, but yet it does not change her status from a Freya, because the Edim came after the time that she was Mekadesh the Mincha, or the act of Znos happened after she was already Mekadesh the Mincha. So Mar says, Mekadesh 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 Shafir Kadesh. Mar says, Matri Kalev Rav Sharshia. What do you mean? What do you mean she has no sin? The
she was married with the same person that she was warned about.
I'm sorry?
The same person that she was warned.
No, no, this is different. No warning here. It could be anybody. That she has no sense of way of agency here. That she was nesmus. That will cut her off from drinking mesota at this point, because she's already now an adulteress. She's also the husband. No reason to drink the mesota anymore. Right. How does this exactly happen that she has nus in the Azara? Right? Hello, Pirkei Kuna, I'm Elavinota. Right? So that, you know, that she has to be accompanied the whole process of the Sota up on the Azara. We're going to see this later on in the Masechta. That the Kohanim drag her around they drag her around the Azara, they take her to the Beit Din, they take her to the Kohanim, they go through this whole process. She's always under careful watch. Right? She's very good. Exactly. She one of her guards, right? One of her guards she got involved with one of her milagim. Right? So the guard says, Rashi Amar, no, it doesn't have to be that she got involved with the Pirkei Kuna. Don't she needs to come out? That she needs to go to the bathroom. The Alta Pirkei Kuna, if you keep Talibah. You know, are the Pirkei Kuna, walking around me, are they like a head covering for me? Are they always on her? No. You know, that they have to let her go to the bathroom, they have to give her some room, breathing room. And the time that she had that breathing room, she had the snus. You know, that they're not, when we say that they're malad her, it doesn't mean like in the sense that they don't leave their, they never leave her side. You know, there are times where they leave her side. In that instance, she was able to perform the snus. What? Obviously, these are extreme cases, but the Gemara is just trying to come up with a hechatim said that you have this afterwards that will protect her. She's in this position, and you have a mitzvah in this repet, despite the fact that he believes that the mayim aim in both kimla. All right, now, Papa Amar, Olam kidamirinon b'tara. All right, so no. It's like you originally said, that what? That the Edom came before. The Kamar typical Kulin, right? So now, what are you going to say? If the Edom came before she was Mekadesh the Mincha, right, then it's Kulin, because there's no reason to be Mekadesh, because as we current look at the Amart, right, typical Kulin, right, to go out to Kulin, mid the Rabbanim Zera, Shemiyim Motsim Miklisharit the Chol. But it's a Zera Tzvachavim. The reason that the Mincha is misrepeated here is not, right, because that the Ikara, it should be. Midoraisa, you're right. Everything's cleared over here. Once you have the Edom show up, everything's free and clear, and the Mincha is a Mincha, right, the toast, or it's not necessary, and therefore it would be the Kulin. And why do we burn the Mincha over here? Burn the Mincha has nothing to do with our case over here. It's a side issue, which is that we don't want the Mincha to go out to a Kulin. People are going to see this. You have a Mincha that went into a Klisharis. It was Kadosh with Kedushas of Guf. And now it's going out to Kulin. So people are going to think that you have the ability to pull that a Mincha that had Kedushas of Guf, when that's not true. So we're afraid of what people are going to say when the Mincha goes out to the Kulin. In order to protect that, we say there's a Zera, the Mincha is burnt, even though that's not necessarily the din of this Mincha. The reason that it doesn't work, so you have Edim that come here, and the Edim come and testify that she was, right, Tmeya, and therefore the Mafreya, there should have been no, there's nothing here, and they show out the Kulin. So they know Hanani, that is the din, but there's what's coming is that we don't want people seeing the stuff going to a Klisharis and come out of a Klisharis. That's it. That's the din here. So Agmar says, Meitiv, Agmari, Nitz Meit Minchata Achelo Kidsha, if the Mincha becomes Tamei before she's Mekadeshit the Kli, then it's like any other mincha, because it has kedusha damim. Kedusha damim can be nifteh, has to be joined to it, and you can redeem it and take it out. And then you take the money and buy another mincha with it, and the mincha that's tmeya is kum. Mishikotche bikli, harihi kechol haminachot b'tisareis. Right, so now, if once it's already put into kli shareis, then it gets kedusha saguf. Kedusha saguf cannot have pidyon, and if it becomes tmeya, it gets burnt. Now, Kodesh or Komets, right? If the Komets became Kadosh, Loi speak like Kivo Achimes. So what happens is that there's actually two, in the process of the Kli Sharis, there's actually two, the process comes twice. Which is that you bring it up to Migdash, you place the Mincha into a Kli Sharis. After it's placed in Kli Sharis, you separate out a Komets, right? That's the piece that comes out of the Mincha, and that's placed into another Kli Sharis. So Kadesh and Komets, Loi speak like Kivo. So they took the Kadesh, the Komets, and they put it into a Kli Sharis, but they didn't get it onto the Mizbeach before the Baal died. Achimit who? Oh, Achimit Tahi. And so the point where either the Baal dies or the woman dies, Harehi Kecholam Nachot Kitzisarit. Again, it's like all their Mincha and it gets burnt because they weren't able to get the Komets onto the Mizbeach, and therefore the Shirayim cannot be eaten, even though the Komets was moved out from it. Kareva Komets, If the Kohen is already put on the Mizbech, the Lord speaks about Kol Shirayim Achameis, who? Oh, Achameis to eat. And the Kohen didn't have enough time to eat the Shirayim before he dies or she dies. Harik Kolam and Akol to Terachal, Metochal. Right? So then it can be eaten because Al Shalah Sepik Bat Mitzchilah. Right? So in the whole purpose of bringing the Mincha in the first place is because of the Sepik. Kipra Sepika Maholchalah. Right? That the Sepik Kipra over here means not like Kapara, we mean in the sense that she was forgiven, but Kapara, it did its job. In the Mincha was brought Al Sepika, and the Mincha is now done. Everything that needed to be done with the Mincha is now completed, and the Mincha is its part or its job in determining the safek is already complete, and since it's complete, you can eat the shirai. Bala edim, this is the problem. Bala edim she tmeya min chatan isrepet. Right, if the edim come that she was tmeya, then right, it's nisrepet. So again, we're gonna have to say what nisrepet means. Mide rabbana, according to the explanation of Rosh Hashanah. Nimshu edazumim min chata kudin. Well, if we find out that her edim are zomimim, then her mincha goes out the kudim. So now Gemara says, right, well, why don't we worry? According to Rav Papa, what do we say? That when you have a cat, that you have a mincha that was what? That was brought to Kodesh, and edim show up afterwards, what do we say? That these edim, right, undermine it, the mafreya. They ruin the mincha of the mafreya, and they should be chulin. So here you have Edim Sira that were the ones who brought her up here to start with to have to bring a mincha, and now all of a sudden they were disproved. These Edim were found to be Edim Zomim. She no longer has to drink mesota, no longer has to bring a mincha. So that retroactively makes the mincha kedushay tos. If it's kedushay tos, it goes out the chulin. Exactly what the Rebbe said, right? But what did Rav Papa just say? Even when Midoraisa should go out the Kulin, there's still a Zera Drabonon that it doesn't go out the Kulin. Here you have it's Kodesh with Dushas of Guf, meaning in the Klisharis, and now it's going out the Kulin. Where's Zera Strapapa? Right, if Rapapa believes any kind it's Kodesh with Klisharis, it shouldn't go out the Kulin Midorabonon. Where is your Zera Strapapa over here? Rest says, no, Edim Zomim Kamart. I mean, Edim Zomim in Kulis. Right, you don't need a Zera in the face of Edim Zomim, because Edim Zomim is a very public instance. Number one, there's a demand of Achrazah by Edim Zomim when they get punished. Number two, it's such a, you know, I don't both unusual, but an extreme case, and these types of things get good press. Right, they get a lot of press. If they get a lot of press, people are going to know, the reason the Minchas went out of the Kulis, because they have Edim Zomim here. Edim Abayim, Medina Sayyam, that's a regular case of Edim. That's a regular testimony. Basin. That doesn't necessarily have public aspects to it. Since it doesn't have public aspects to it, right, then it's not, we worry about the Xeris Kokum. Tanya Kavasi to Rav Sheshis, below Mitame. There's a brightza that supports the position of Rav Sheshis, but not for his reason. Right, what is that? Tahora, the Pasuk says that what? When is she protector? When is she Nizrat? When did the Mayam Arim do good by her? I mean, what did they give her positive aspects? Tahora, Veloshi, Eshlam, Eidim, Bimidina, Seyam. Tahora, Veloshi, Taltulan, Schus. Right, so when it says Tahorahi, those extra words of Tahorahi were darshaning in the Pasuk. Right, Tahorahi. So when it says Tahorah, then it gives her a bracha when there are no Edim in Yisayam. Torah, the lo shetal talas chus, and not when there is a chus there. So the word Torah comes to teach you that what? That it doesn't have a positive aspect. What does that tell you? That tells you when there's an Edim in Yisayam, the mayim is not bodkim. Right? What are the two cases that we just brought here are cases where the mayim doesn't work, even though she's possibly tmeya. What is that? Edim and chus. So even though Edim and chus work to protect her, right, even though they work to protect her, nevertheless, they're not going to give her the bracha aspect. Even though they protect her from not being deteriorated or having her, you know, explode in the azara, they also don't give her the aspect of bracha. But what do you see from that? When you have Edim and Nisayam, the mayim are not. Both kimota. Right? Below, he. Below she isu beneath nuba muzarol tepalavana. He, meaning that the case of where mesota work is only when there's a question as to her innocence. If the fact is so well known that it's already in the rumor mills, the Yent is already talking about it. Yeah, the muzarol tepalavana, those are sowing in the under the moon, the light of the moon, meaning those people that, you know, always spreading the news and the rumors. If that's already so obvious or so well known what happened, right, that they're already talking about it, then the mesota don't work either, because they're only the whole course for the mezuzah could be mevarer as safek, when we don't know what happened. Over here, that it's so such common knowledge that what happened, then there's no reason for the mezuzah to work. So over here, you see again that the according to the way what Rav Sheshit says is true, that when you have edim b'minyan sayam, the mayim are not potkim ota, they're not potkim ota, not because of the right issue of the edus, and Rashi doesn't say because of the, we're worried about the edim coming in looking at her, but that they don't work here because she doesn't get the bracha. They don't work to be both of her, but it also is the aspect that she doesn't get a bracha over here from the edut. Now, Rav Shimon, right, what does Rav Shimon do over here, right? That he says that, in chus tolalo, right? That he says, right, this goes, nehi devav delo darish, ha'ika, right, v'ha'ika yesh like edim v'disayat. So that, what it says is, lo shchicha. Right, so that, what about if Rav Shimon says that the waters are going to cast aspersions, right? We're going to have problems with them. The reason that Swiss is not tolala is because it casts aspersions on the water. Then, according to this verse, what are you going to do with the, right? Okay, we understand that he doesn't darshan by Swiss lo tolala because, right, of the above. He has a drasha that goes up against the chachamim, right? The heat above the lo darshan, he usually eat him, not going to be crop. Now, we have a pasuk that's teaching us about Eden. And before, what we said was, why did we answer for Rav Shimon before? What do we do with Eden when you say, how come the water doesn't work? We said, just like he said, it doesn't work by tzchus, it doesn't work by Eden. But now, the Braiser brought down an explicit pasuk that says, that what? That it doesn't work by Eidus. If it doesn't work by Eidus, what does Rav Shimon have to stand up against the pasuk? You know, one, by tzchus, he has a limud from a pasuk, above lo darish. And therefore, he can learn against the Braiser over here, because he has a limud d'oraisa to go up against that limud d'oraisa. But, if he doesn't, right, over here, by Eidim, we just said it was a logical argument. Just like it doesn't work by tzchus, it won't work by Eidim. But if you have a pasuk that explicitly says it won't work by Eidim, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? How does he explain his shita that we worry about the, right, the status of the, you know, of the reputation of the Mitzvah? So after my answer is up, that's an unusual case. Since it's not a common case, we don't worry about it, right, casting aspersions again on the, quality of the Mesota, or on the reputation of the Mesota, because it's such an unusual case. As opposed to Schus Tolila, which would be a very common case, there Rabbi Shimon worries about it, and he has a drasha, the right to go up against this Braisa.